Townies, a monthly feature on KYMN Radio, is produced by Art Makers, bringing together artists with disabilities and local professional and student artists to create art together and build community. And now your hosts, Andrew Rosso and Betsy Spethman.
Hey, well, this is your flip phone twin, Andrew, welcoming you to Townies, and we are curious what you like to teach. I know that your title is visiting assistant professor. Can you tell us what that's like?
Yeah, I'm currently sitting in my office in Duluth in the geology department, and I'm a visiting assistant professor. The classes I'm teaching this semester are oceanography and hydrology. So it's very environmental science oriented.
Yes.
And so oceanography sounds like water, and hydrology sounds like water also.
Yeah. You know, in Minnesota, of course, we have a lot of fresh water. But I was pleased that most of my students have been to the ocean before. I wasn't sure if they would or not.
When I was younger, I was actually near the ocean in Florida, and I would make what my mom calls Figaro holes.
What's a Figaro hole?
So you dig a hole in the sand, you pop out, and you say, Figaro, Figaro, Figaro.
All right.
So, Will, tell us a little bit about some of your ocean adventures.
Yeah, I love the ocean. Strange fact about my family history is that there were some of my ancestors, several of them, also with the name William Daniels, died at sea as fishermen, you know, many generations ago. But the ocean to me is really impressive. I mean, if you've seen Lake Superior, it's similar, but there's a different smell, and it's different. It's just the ocean life that exists is bizarre and amazing. I like hanging out on the beach in the rocky intertidal zone. So when I lived in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and I got to go to the ocean all the time. And I kind of miss it being in Duluth, but fresh water is great too.
And do you spend very much time at the water and on the water or near the water in Duluth also?
Yeah, I've gotten to join a dragon boat canoe team.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's a big canoe that holds 10 people and everybody's paddling at once.
Wow.
Yeah. I've had a streak going for a long time of canoeing every month of the year.
Wow.
I've done it for like 4 or 5 years, but actually this month I didn't go canoeing. So my streak is broken now.
Huh. Switching topics. What's it like to use, flip phones or, well, any kind of phone or communication in space?
Good question. Yeah, you and I know, are kindred spirits with our flip phones.
Yes.
In space, we didn't have phones. Everything was done with radios and like headsets. And it was complicated. It was a very steep learning curve for me.
Cool.
Will, tell us about that NASA adventure.
This NASA adventure, you're referring to when I lived for 45 days in a space pod at NASA.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And the two things they were testing is they didn't let us sleep very much. They were testing the impact of no sleep. And then they also, the phones was the other thing they were studying. When we go to Mars, there's like, it takes 5 minutes for a message to make it there and back. And so they don't know how many decisions the astronauts should make on their own because of that delay, or if they should like communicate everything to NASA. And so they, in our radio with our fake radio with Earth, they built in a time delay. So we would send a message to ground control and we'd have to wait, you know, 10 minutes to get an answer. And every conversation was like that. So it was pretty weird.
So were you trying out different, like, okay, if we make decisions without having, you know, input from control, and then sometimes you'd be like, okay, if we build in this 10-minute pause, for the message to go all the way to Mars for 5 minutes and then come all the way back from Mars for 5 minutes. Is that what you were doing, trying the experiments at both ways?
Yeah. And in our simulation, it was the delay got, it started out really small, just like a couple seconds. And as the mission went on, it got longer and longer and longer, up to like 8 minutes, I think, was the longest. So 16 minutes for a two-way travel. And by the end, by like 3 minutes delay, we just like made all the decisions ourselves. We stopped talking to NASA.
And was that okay with them? Like, did that give NASA the information they needed?
I think that's what they wanted to learn about was, yeah, how much does that delay impact people and affect their decision-making? Because when we go to the moon is so close that there's not actually a delay of significance. And so they've never dealt with this before.
And so do you want to go to the moon and go to Mars, you personally?
I would like to. I never will. That's okay. Yeah, I think it'd be great. So, how about you?
Oh, Andrew, you want to go to the moon?
I already know what the moon is like from that Franklin Bramley book.
Well, that's true. And also, if you were to go to the moon, you'd want to be home, do it in one day so you could be home and sleep in your own bed that night, right?
Yeah.
But the moon is probably more than one day trip, right, Will?
It's a few days. You're looking at a week. Oh. But I've heard that sleeping on the moon, they sleep in hammocks, and they say it's like the softest feather bed you could ever imagine because it's low gravity and you're in a hammock.
Oh, my mom would love that.
We live right by the river, and so we have a hammock that is strung between two trees right by the Cannon River where Wolf Creek comes into the river. It's a very peaceful place.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's lovely. So, Will, tell us more about what it was like to live in the pod for 45 days.
Well, the hardest part was just being, so close to the same people 24/7, which everyone is used to now that the pandemic's happened. But for me, that was pretty novel. And like, there was some tension at times between people, which is normal. That was probably the hardest part.
How many people were in the pod?
It was me and three others. All of our food was like pre-packaged and freeze-dried and stuff.
Ooh.
I got to call my family one time per week.
Almost like in jail, but cooler.
It was kind of like jail in some ways. Our door was never locked. Our door was never locked. We could have left the ship whenever, but we never did.
Were you tempted?
No, never.
Good. Andrew, let's shift gears, talk about outdoor spaces, because, Will, we want to talk about your adventure in space, but also adventures that you have in wide open spaces. What are some of your favorite outdoor places and activities?
Well, canoeing is my favorite thing. I grew up just canoeing on the Cannon River, and I have always loved canoeing since then. My dad and I used to go every month of the year in high school. I think that's where my current tradition has come from. Alaska and Greenland, places in the where it's cold. I really like Alaska. I've gone there many times for research to northern Alaska and the Arctic Ocean, and I think it's really incredible. The wildlife and the scenery is mind-blowing.
What are some of the animals?
Well, caribou and muskox. You see quite a bit. I've also seen a wolverine, which is really, really rare. And bears and moose, foxes. You can see everything. And there's no trees in Arctic part of Alaska, and so you can see forever. So you can see some of these animals from really far off.
What is a wolverine?
It's like a badger, but more fierce. And actually, the one I saw was attacking a caribou. So the wolverine was tiny, but it was attacking this giant caribou. It was amazing. I'm blown away in Duluth. I mean, you guys see deer down where you are, but here they're everywhere. I see at least like a dozen every day, and sometimes they're in downtown Duluth.
Wow.
It's so goofy.
Andrew, tell Will about the birds that you and heard and saw the other day.
500 starlings out in our yard making all this noise at once, because it's almost like somebody going to a party and there's like all these voices all at one time. This was like that.
Huh. Do you know different birds, sounds, songs? I'm terrible at that.
I know a couple. So for example, I remember saying to my mom one time that I hoped that does well on Tuesday. And my mom goes, me too.
What is that?
The loons?
What is that one, Andrew?
Meadowlark.
You should tell Will about your conversation with the loons up at Aunt Nancy and Uncle Steve's house.
We were in a pontoon. And when I went,
it's pretty good.
The loons actually answered me.
Nice.
So, Will, I have another question about your travels. What's the farthest place that you've been?
Yeah, so I think my biggest adventures are Alaska, and then Antarctica is probably the farthest.
Cool.
Yeah, that was back in 2010. And we were on a boat, a research ship, for about 2 months. And being on a research ship is kind of like being in a space pod. You're kind of stuck in a vessel. And that was really awesome. We saw a lot of wildlife there too, actually. We saw a lot of whales and seals and penguins and other birds. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. And then the other big adventure I had was in Greenland. And that one was special because I got to bring my dad along.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And we got to go up on the ice sheets and the glaciers. We stayed with farmers in their, like, barns. you know, most of Greenland is covered by ice, but there's just a little strip around the edge that's green. And most of the people that live there are sheep farmers. And so we went and stayed with some of the sheep farmers.
And what were you studying? What were you there for?
That project was trying to figure out why the Vikings, like the Norse people, settled in Greenland and then later on abandoned Greenland. It's like in the age of Leif Erikson and Eric the Red. And so we were looking at the historical record and the geological record to try to figure out clues about what happened.
And did you get some good clues?
We think it was because of droughts that they left.
And I'm wondering if there are some outdoor spaces in and around the Northfield area that you like and that that you like to share with other people.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite spots is the Rice County Park. It's down, you go down Route 3 towards Faribault, like halfway, and then it's the Cannon River goes through it. And I remember going there to camp out in high school. So that was one of my favorite spots. There's nice hiking trails, and the river is really nice. There's a bridge over the river. And there's a big picnic area also. And of course, the other place I love is the Arboretum at Carleton.
I've been there.
Yeah. That's great in the summer and the winter.
So one last question, Will, and this is because you're a teacher, we're going to ask you this question. What do you want people to know about Earth and about our environment?
Yeah, what do you want to know? Tell everybody.
Something I taught with my students last week is that water, which is something that we all take for granted. We drink it, we shower in it, we water our lawns with it. It turns out to be one of the strangest materials on the planet in terms of its properties.
Well, it can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas. And so
it's the only thing that's in all three of those at the surface of Earth. So that's a big one. And then it has a very high heat capacity, meaning that it doesn't heat up or cool down very quickly compared to everything else on the planet. It's got, you know, surface tension, so it can like actually move upwards on the surface of like up a straw, or like up the, you know, it can kind of creep upwards.
Oh.
And it's the only material that really has that property. So it's very strange, and it's very important to everything in our lives.
Well, and the fact that it changes temperature very slowly, the amount of time that it has taken for the water on Earth to heat up as much as it has to affect our climate, what that makes me assume is then it's going to take a relatively long time to lower those temperatures too. It's not just going to be a matter of a quick change.
Yeah, we've been adding a lot of heat into the ocean, even though the temperature hasn't been changing very rapidly. It can absorb a lot of heat without a big change in temperature. And most of the energy, the extra heat from global warming, is going into the oceans rather than the air.
And then the fact that the ocean is absorbing all of that heat, we are starting to see the temperatures rise somewhat, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yep, definitely. So, but the temperatures of air is changing faster, even though most of the heat is going into the ocean.
So is there something that people should watch for, or something that people can do that would be beneficial to the Earth?
Yeah, I think it's really complicated. I think we need to have energy, and we should look for ways to have renewable energy. That's going to be the way to solve our climate crisis and to ensure that we have power 100 years from now. Any movement towards renewable energy is good.
Do you want to give Will one more bird call?
Was that the robin?
No, that's the Baltimore Oriole.
Oh, Oriole.
Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much for making time to talk with us. We really appreciate
it. It was great to join you. Thank you for the invitation.
You've been listening to Townies, a monthly feature on KYMN Radio with host Andrew Rosso and Betsy Spethman. Townies is produced by ArtMakers, bringing together artists with disabilities with local professional and student artists to create art together and build community. Tune in on the first Thursday of each month for Townies.